If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite Lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your source for everything Mass Effect, and you may have noticed the intro changed a little bit on this episode. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here, as usual, with my good buddy, Sam, and Seven, the legend. Sam, welcome back to the show. Did you notice something different on the intro?
You know, I sure did. And that voice that you just heard in the intro was none other than Mark Meer, also known as Solomon Gunn, a.k.a. Opold, a.k.a. Niftu Kal, the biotic god. And, you know, he's also been called the Lion of Elysium, the Avatar of Victory, the Hero of Eden Prime, Broship, the first human specter, Shepherd Commander, a.k.a. Commander Shepherd himself. That's crazy, right? He's worn a lot of hats in the Milky Way. Everything from voicing all of the Hanar to the Vorcha to our favorite Volus and to Commander Shepard. And I am ecstatic to say that he can also add Mass Effect Lorecast onto his IMDb list of appearances now, because we got the chance to talk to Mark about one of his favorite scenes in the whole game and how it relates to N7 Day.
Yes. So I'm going to play it again real quick, just in case you're one of those people who just kind of skips over the intro just to get to the juicy bits. Here's the quote.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite Lorecast on the Citadel.
That's it right there. That's it. Holy crap. Man, yeah. you guys will not believe the DMs going back and forth between me and Sam this week as this was developing. And we couldn't wait to tell you guys, because this was like, you know, like, I'm sure, Sam, I'm sure you were telling people that you knew your significant other. You know, I'm telling my wife, I'm like, hey, guess what Sam's working on? And we're all geeking out and stuff. And we're like, oh, my God, we can't tell anybody yet. We can't tell anybody yet. Biting our teeth and stuff. And then yeah. It worked out. Man, this is so cool. And yeah, man, we're his favorite lore cast on the Citadel. That's freaking amazing.
I think I like cried a little inside when I heard that, and it was like a dream come true. Unironically, it really was. But you know, that it is kind of crazy, right? We got to kind of sort of interview Commander Shepard on N7 Day, right? Yeah. So although he's extremely busy, he was able to patch in to our quantum entanglement communicator and give us his thoughts on the show's topic tonight.
Right. So we'll be getting to that later on. That's the voice clip that he gave us answering one of the questions is going to come up on the second half of the show, because it's going to tie into the topic for today's episode. So stay tuned for that. But first, we have to get into today's episode and the topic that we will be discussing. So why don't we just dive in? Because I know everybody's going to be waiting to hear his take on that topic, because of course, who better to dive into actually getting into Commander Shepard's perspective on something himself than one of the two Commander Shepards themselves, right? Right, Sam?
Yeah, so exactly.
So what are we talking about today?
So while we go live every Sunday, you know, and so when I was planning our schedule, it just so worked. It worked out too perfectly, you know, to resist. And of course, I had to make our N7 Day episode all about its namesake, the heroes in the N7 Special Forces program. Mm-hmm. So we are all familiar with the letters in 7, right? They're smack dab on Shepard's uniform, right on the chest, with the iconic red little stripe there. And it seems not so many other people's uniforms have the same design. That's because N7 is the highest tier of Special Forces designation that a service member in the system's alliance military can achieve. And these are the best of the best. They have endured trials that would break most people. When the alliance needs soldiers with unparalleled battlefield expertise and a mind as sharp as an Omniblade, they turn to the graduates of the N7 program. Put quite simply, they are the best humanity has to offer.
Yes. And they're also really good chefs. That's a little known fact. They also have to pass a culinary.
Yes.
That's one of the that's an elective program. But
they have an Iron Chef competition there at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. N7 chef
like a souffle out of rocks.
Yeah, yeah. It's They're given twigs and rocks and just like random assortment of like things. Never mind. Just move. That part's not as important as the other parts, so we'll just focus on the other parts for now.
So basically N7 is a vocational code for the Alliance military. You know, every job in the Alliance military has a letter and a number attached to it, similar to state militaries around the world today, like the military occupational specialty codes within the U.S. Army. In this case, N stands for Special Forces, and the number, it signifies proficiency. So 7 is the highest level of proficiency there is. And in real life, the N7 came from somewhere much more mundane. People might be interested to know, if they don't already know, that the game's art director got some inspiration from none other than a ski binding. The Look N77 ski binding. That is where the N7 comes from. And we actually have a photo. I don't know if Tom can bring it up, but the N77 ski binding, you can kind of see it in the font. There's definitely a resemblance there, right? But it's not like a spitting image. So they dropped the 7. They worked it around some different design elements. And in fact, the red stripe in the N7 actually signifies the blood that Shepard has to spare in the sacrifice to pursue Saren.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so there's some real cool symbolism there, and the red stripe is also iconic of the same red stripe that astronaut commanders would wear on their uniform. So there's some cool parallels there as well. But the coveted designation itself doesn't come from a ski binding. It actually comes only after soldiers can graduate from something called the Interplanetary Combatives Training Program. And it's made up of seven, because it goes from N1 to N6. The Interplanetary Combatives Academy is located in Vila Militar in Rio de Janeiro, which would be modern day Brazil. I'm not sure if Brazil exists in its current, you know, nation state format in the Mass Effect universe. But by the way, this is a real neighborhood, Vila Militar. It actually does exist. I was curious, so I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it turns out that it does exist. No, there is not a ridiculously competitive military academy there, to my knowledge. However, there could be a secret one. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
The Academy in Mass Effect recruits the top officers from every single branch of Earth's militaries, and they pour in from every corner to compete in the world's most daunting combat training exercises. So exactly what they do, it differs on how many times they've been to the Academy and how many times they've passed the previous level of training. I'll run through them, basically. The first time, they're trained by elite units of the world's most, you know, like foremost land-based armies. Think of like Delta Force. And according to the Codex, a year one recruit can train more than 20 hours a day. 20 hours a day. That's insane. They're getting what?
Sleep.
3 hours of sleep then?
Holy crap. Yeah.
So, yeah. And they're leading squads into combat in hostile terrain with little sleep or food. The service members who excel here are awarded the N1 designation, and they can return to the school to then focus on their combat class. Those combat classes take place between N2 and N6 levels of training. This is where things start to get effing nuts.
Like it wasn't already.
Right. As if it wasn't nuts enough already. These courses are often held off planet at facilities like those on Arcturus and Jupiter's moon Europa. And they're filled with stuff like zero gravity combat, parachuting, jetpack flights, scuba diving, linguistics, and even frontline trauma care. Get this, for both humans and aliens. Mm-hmm. So that explains the metagel system, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Shepard's got the metagel and you're, oh, how are you healing like aliens and humans at the same time? Well, he's been trained in it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, if you're going to send somebody off planet to do stuff, then they better be trained in alien biology.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, they should probably know who their squad is with, and not just their squad, but their local fixers, things like that. Right. Mm-hmm. So N6 is the highest grade of training, and it puts service members in actual combat scenarios. Like, so this is training, but it's putting them in real conflict zones throughout the galaxy. Like shots are actually being fired. They might actually die.
Yeah.
And from day one, you know, in the N6 training, in the very end, the coup de grace, right? Trainees are given basically little to no gear, very basic gear. And then they're stranded on an asteroid with no navigation data, no Google Maps, no Apple Maps, no maps at all. Uh-huh. You're just on an asteroid, very little gear. Uh-huh. And as if that's not scary enough, you know, you might be wondering what the criteria is.
It's like a reality show, right? Like, this is like they're filming them. There's like a film crew and they drop them off on some asteroid somewhere, like naked. Not quite afraid. Not super afraid because they're trained, right? But maybe a little
naked
afraid.
Naked and dauntless.
Naked, yeah, right? And they're like, okay, MacGyver your way out of here. Good luck.
Naked and unafraid. That is the new training, right? Well, yeah. You know, as if that's not scary enough, to pass it, well, the test ends when the last person runs out of oxygen. That's when the test ends.
Wow.
So, wow. Like, if you're the last person, you're like last man standing, right? But
it's
then
like a Squid Game.
You're not out of oxygen yet.
Right.
Like, they're going to wait until you're out of oxygen too. So you don't even get a reprieve if you're the final one. But the first few are out of the program, right? And it's not because they're dead. If the trainee survives these scenarios in quote unquote admirable and effective fashion, then they finally receive that coveted N7 designation.
Wait, so they don't even just get it if they survive. They have to survive it admirably and effectively in order to get the designation. Like, if they survive by the skin of their teeth, then it's like, well, you survived. Too bad. It wasn't.
But you looked
kind
of lame.
You kind of lamed it out doing it. I mean, you just barely made it. Sucks to be you, buddy.
Look, buddy, you don't look like a biotic god to me.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So. You know, to my knowledge, no one dies, right? But the first few who drop during that final test are out of the program. But there's really no shame in that, because even being invited to participate in this contest is kind of a badge of honor. And we don't meet many in the series, right? We don't meet many N7s in the series, but some characters that stand out are Captain David Anderson and James Vega. In fact, Anderson was the very first person to ever graduate from the ICT program and receive the N7 designation on his chest.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. Like, once you realize that, because you meet him early on in the series, but then once you realize that about him, you kind of, I don't know, I felt like I got a new respect for him as a character in the series. So Anderson and Shepard both graduated from this specific insanely hard training program, and then they're assigned on the same ship together. So it seems, I mean, this is a rare designation. Is there some coincidence there?
Right. You'd have to think that there are really only a dozen, maybe, or maybe dozens of them in the Alliance. So not a lot of people. And so, you know, I think it is. And I think the relationship that Shepard has with Anderson, which is special already, by the way, but I think it's strengthened by that bond. Mm-hmm. The whole, you know, we've been through enough of the same shit type of bond.
Oh yeah.
You know, it brings people remarkably close. Trauma does, right? And actually that's exactly what I talked to Mark Meir about.
Right, right. That makes sense. I mean, we know soldiers in general grow that bond through their training, through serving together, through conflict together, but to have that on the scale of the N7 program would be even more intense, I would assume, right? So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
That would be even more so. Well, I'm excited to get to this this little clip that we're going to share from Mark, and it's on the next part of the show. So first we have to get to the mid break, and we've got a review. We're going to thank our patrons, and then we're going to hear from Commander Shepard himself. So why don't we go do that so we can get to the rest of the show?
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
Are you into the cyberpunk tabletop games or excited for Cyberpunk 2077? Are you looking to brush up on the lore, stay up on all the latest news, and talk about the game when it comes out? Check out the Cyberpunk Lorecast, a show from Robots Radio with me, your host, Robots. We'll go over all the details you need to know about the world, characters, and story of Cyberpunk. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
All right, so this is the part of the show where we get to thank our patrons for being freaking awesome. You guys are the best. All 41 of you. And that's just amazing. We have some new patrons and some upgrades to call out. We have Annalisa J, who has pledged, and then also a Michael B, who has pledged, and an upgrade from KDC. So thank you to you guys for your upgrades and or your pledges. And then we also call out every week our commander level shepherds, Pipe Man, Sovereign, and Stagger and Stumble. Thank you to all three of our tier 5 shepherd level friends for helping to support the show, and everybody else who helps us every single week. If we've done anything to help you get through your workday, your workout, your commute to work, or, you know, paying your phone bills, because phone bills suck. You know, everybody charges too much for phone bills, and sometimes they mess up your phone bills, and you got to pay the phone bill by calling the phone company, and then they put you on hold. And what better thing to do when you're on hold than listen to a podcast? So if we helped you out with that, then think about going to patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast. Check out all the different tiers, starting with the beginning tier, getting your ad-free episodes, your episodes early, and all the way to the higher tiers where you get called out every week. You get to join us on future episodes and all that awesome stuff. Also, let's check out our new reviews. We've got, I'm pulling it up right now, we've got a new review from DN75 in the United States, who wrote, "Great way to learn more without having to dig through the codex." Everybody loves that, right? It's just like, it's like easy mode on learning more stuff. So 5 stars from the US says, "This has been an awesome podcast to listen to, as I was the only one in my friend's group that enjoyed the Mass Effect franchise." That is so lonely. That is such a bummer. I totally feel you there. That's one of the reasons I started doing podcasts, is because there's not many people in my like meat space. And that is M-E-A-T space, you know, like human flesh space, that enjoyed so many of the games that I love so much. So I was like, I'm going to do podcasts so I can meet actual other human beings in the digital space that I can be friends with. They go on and say, "Hearing all the lore and the connections is a great way to learn about the franchise. Enjoy the stories." Well, thank you so much, DN75. We really do appreciate it. And if you want to help us out, we would love a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And all you got to do is just log in, even if you don't listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, drop a rating and review. If you leave some words there, we will read it out on a future episode. And we really do appreciate it. So thank you so much. Sam, you have anything else you want to share with our patrons or anybody else before we move on?
Well, you know, I just wanted to say yet again that I'm incredibly, you know, grateful to all of our patrons, all of our listeners, because like you just hinted at, one of the reasons that I started doing this show was to talk to people about Mass Effect and just geek out about it. And so to be able to do this and get that level of support from the patrons and the community has really just been incredible. it's been crazy, you know, like we just started this podcast in, you know, last spring, right? Last March.
Yeah.
And now, 8 months later, we have Mark Meer appearing on the show, right? This is insane. I never imagined this. So it's been a hell of a ride. And I just want everyone to know that it means a lot to me, you know, every step of the way.
Yeah. So thank you to all of you guys. If it wasn't for you guys being supportive of the show, then we wouldn't be able to do this. So it really, really does come down to you guys and your support and your love. And we love you back. Thank you for being here. All right. Let's move on with the rest of the show because we've got some cool stuff to get to.
Spit it out. Or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right. So, our listeners know, usually when we cover these lore topics, we take them a little bit more slowly, but we just had to speed through that beginning part because we just had to get to this other part. So tell me, Sam, how did you get a chance to talk to Mark Meer? How did this work out?
See, you know, I knew N7 Day was coming up, and I really, truly, desperately wanted to hear from someone on the Mass Effect team. So on a whim, I just reached out to Mark and asked, you know. He told me he was indeed pretty busy for N7 Day, but he said he could make time. So jaw equals dropped, right? Like on the floor. I was that crazy, crazy town.
Y axis of jaw increased by 10 times.
Yeah. My jaw has completely detached. And yeah, so after he, like, even if it was a no, the fact that he replied, I was like already fanboying about. So this is insane. You have this iconic sci-fi actor and some random fan sends him a message and he's like, sure thing. I was in shock, right? I'm still in shock, but all right, enough about me, right? In honor of N7 Day, we asked Mark Meer this question about our two favorite N7 grads. Given that Shepard and Anderson share the designation, how did you view that relationship, both when reading the scripts and in playthroughs since then? What distinguishes them from other heroes in video games and works of fiction? And this is what he had to say.
Hey, Mass Effect Lorecast, this is Mark Meer. Thank you for having me. Your question was about the relationship between Shepard and Anderson. And obviously, this is a very special relationship that goes beyond the relationship between a commanding officer and a subordinate, maybe even beyond the relationship between a mentor and a mentee. It's a very familial, very parental relationship, and this really hits home in Anderson's final scenes. Anderson's death scene is probably one of my favorite scenes in the entire trilogy. Jennifer Hale and I have both talked about how emotional it was, and the fact that we both had Keith David's performance in our headsets as we were recording really helps that. Because, let's face it, Keith David is not only one of the great voice actors of all time, one of the great actors of all time, but one of the great human voices in existence. And so getting to play that scene with him was something really special. Unlike a lot of other fictional heroes, Shepard's relationship with their mentor is not at all antagonistic. It's very supportive, as I mentioned before, very familial. Anderson is clearly a father figure, and let's face it, the kind of father figure that we all wish we could have. It was an amazing scene, and Anderson and Shepard's relationship is one of the true gems of the Mass Effect trilogy. And I think you also had another little request, so let me just fulfill that.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel. Happy N7 Day, Spectres. And I do hope you all have a very happy N7 Day. Thanks again for having me. I should go.
I should go.
I love it that he ends with that. I didn't even ask for that part. So, truth be told, yes, I did definitely request him to say, you know, I'm Commander Shepard and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Right.
I never mentioned the I should go thing. That was 100% him. So I laughed out loud when I first heard that through the audio clip.
Oh, man, that's so good. It's so good. I love when I love getting a glimpse behind the scenes, you know, and I love when the voice actors talk about working with other actors, because you always want to think that it's a big happy family, and it isn't always. But the professional respect, you know, the professional respect and Keith David and saying like, oh, hearing Keith David's voice lines in my, you know, in my headset and being able to respond to that, and then picturing their relationship and being able to, like, because that's part of I've only done a little bit of voice acting in my career, which is nothing compared to these guys. But from what I've learned looking into it, there's so much more that goes into voice acting, because you don't have the visual aspect. You have to convey every ounce of emotion and feeling through just the sounds of your voice. And so you really have to be picturing what your character is feeling and feeling it and imaging, because you don't see the character on the screen. It's not like you're seeing what your character is going through in the environment, in the game in front of you. That's not what the voice actors are doing. They're reading a script and they're hearing other people voice the characters in their heads. And oftentimes it's not even the voice actor's lines like being read by the other voice actor. Oftentimes it's like a director in the booth in front of them going, you know, like, I don't think so, Shepard. Do you think we should go in there? You know, like, and not even emoting well. And they have to respond to that, you know, or maybe not even that, because they're just like, read the next passage, you know? And it's like, I don't know, getting that glimpse behind the scenes, and just you could hear the kind of a joy in his voice, and the fact that he would take some time out of his day on a day like this, when I'm sure everybody is reaching out to him to say, hey, man, it's N7 day. We love you. We love the character you played. You know, like, to be able to just take a few minutes out of his day and do this for us is just phenomenal. So thank you so much, Mark. This really means the world to us as just some of your fans and some people that you didn't know until like, hey, a week or two ago, you know. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. And likewise for me, too, you know. And I still can't believe it, really. I mean, I had already seen that level of interaction that he really puts in with the fans, because I follow him on social media. And I had heard, you know, stories of other people who had met him before and said he really is, you know, just super down to earth, no pun intended, super cool. But I think most people would be happy to see that he's nerdy just like all of us, right?
Right.
He is. And I mean this in the most sincere way. My childhood hero made the time to talk to us about Shepard Anderson, and what he says is one of his favorite scenes in the whole series. So and so it just means, like, I can't even quantify it or qualify it or put it into words that would do it justice. It really means the world. It means the galaxy to me. You know. And about Anderson and Shepard, I have to agree with him. You know, that bond is totally selfless and supportive, it seems. I talked about it briefly on a different show that we were actually both on before, on the Pixel People podcast.
Right.
But if you've read the books and you've played the games, then you know Anderson is a guy who just gets beaten down by life, right? I mean, his future looks so promising at some points. He graduates top of his class, first in seven ever, giving every ounce of blood, sweat, and energy to selfless service, and yet life has other plans. His marriage fails, his entry into the Spectres is rejected, and Saren sets him up to embarrass humanity on a galactic level. It's not fair. Nothing about that is fair. Yeah. And I've always felt for Anderson that I dreamed a dream from Les Miserables might be personally poignant.
Okay.
I don't know. I know it's like a weird parallel to draw, right? But the lyrics of that song, the feeling and the passion of that song, I feel like would resonate with Anderson and all the things that he's had to sacrifice. But his experience perfectly sets him up to be a scorned villain, or at the very least, an angry, bitter old man shouting, you know, it should have been me, at Shepard. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't do that. And that's not how he defines himself, right? Because when Shepard is granted the distinction of becoming humanity's first Spectre, Anderson accepts a forced early retirement. But willfully, he hands Shepard the ship, the Normandy.
Yeah.
Anderson could have gotten indignant, right? He could have thrown a tantrum, refused to give in to these shady political moves, but he recognizes a losing fight where there is one, and he suspends his ego. He sees in Shepard this potential to help people, to fight for what's right in the galaxy, and to do what he could not. So we have yet again, Anderson picks himself up by the bootstraps. He dusts himself off and he looks for the next mission. His sense of duty just doesn't allow him to quit, because that's what heroes do, right? And that's why both Anderson and Shepard make great heroes, and probably the exact reason why they earned the N7 designation right there on their chest.
You know, it's what I see in Anderson, and maybe this is speaking as a father, but it's also the trait of a good leader. It's somebody who's willing to sacrifice for the greater good. It's somebody who's willing to sacrifice for the benefit of the people underneath him, not for his own glory, right? And this is something that you first see in good parents, whether it's a father or a mother, somebody who's willing to say, not me first, but the greater good first, the benefit of my children first, that kind of thing, right? And this is the relationship you see between Anderson and Shepard, is that he sees the opportunity for Shepard to achieve the things that he never could. And so he's looking at the bigger picture. He could just stomp his feet and say, well, it's not fair. This should have been me. It should have been me. But instead, he sees that he paved the way and he took the hits that Shepard never had to.
That's an amazing way to put it,
right? Because and this is what happens with parents and children. You know, for example, immigrants into a new country like the United States, oftentimes the parents have to take the hits so that their children don't have to, so their children can go get the education, can get the better jobs and do those things. And the parents bear the burden so that their children don't have to. And Anderson bore that burden that humanity had to bear too, at a time when Shepard couldn't have, because he wasn't older. Anderson was older. He was the first N7. He was the one who was in those shoes first. So he bore that burden. He was the one who was screwed over. He was the one who was, you know, worked up against. He was the one Saren fought against, not Shepard, because Shepard wasn't there yet. Had they been in opposite positions, had Shepard been the older person and Anderson had been the younger person, Shepard would have been the one attacked, right?
And that's the truly awesome thing about both of them, because they both would choose that selfless, heroic action,
right?
They would both do that. And so I think it provides us a good reason to celebrate N7 Day in that respect too, doesn't it? Because these are the ideals that we should be looking up to.
Right.
That type of, I'm more concerned about everyone else and the greater good, like you said.
Right. Right. And it's not about getting the glory of the universe. It's about knowing that because of the sacrifices you made, your goal was ultimately achieved. The mission was successful because you furthered that goal anyway. That goal would not have been achieved had you not taken those hits, you know, and seeing that bigger picture. And like Anderson should be proud of that. And Shepard is clearly thankful for that, you know, and the people who are in the know are in the know. And they, you know, they would honor him for that. And that's what matters. That's the thing that matters in the end.
And in the end, you know, speaking of Mark brought up the end scene with Anderson's death. And I think that quote, that final quote from Anderson, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. It goes hand in hand with something that Shepard says earlier in the games, which is, I won't let fear compromise who I am.
Right.
And Shepard never does.
Right.
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 And that is probably the reason, if you had to pick one, that's probably the reason why Anderson is so proud of Shepard.
Right. Yeah. I mean, think about it this way. Who are your heroes' heroes? If Shepard is your hero, who is Shepard's hero? Anderson's got to be one of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it was so cool, like listening to Mark Meer, it sounded like the reverence he spoke of Keith David with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like maybe he is one of Mark Meer's heroes.
Exactly.
Which is like an awesome parallel.
Right. Right. Yeah. As an actor and a voice actor. Absolutely. That's an amazing parallel. That's Yeah, that's absolutely right on.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, we still got some time left and we have some big news that happened today.
Yes. So it was a little bit of a quiet day for N7 Day, except for one very interesting release.
Yeah. Yep. There was a tweet basically where, you know, I think I spent every second that I could on Twitter today and just celebrating N7 Day and being genuinely hyped for tonight's episode. And then hours before we go live, the dev team drops this teaser, right? They said, here's just a little thing that we threw together for N7 Day. Not a big deal. Big whoop.
Right.
But they throw out this teaser on Twitter, and we can bring it up on the screen here.
Ooh,
but
it's a big image. Let me shrink this down for you. So yeah, this is a big boy.
Oh yeah, it's a large image, and you know, fans were hoping that there would be some giant grand reveal, and this photo is a bit cryptic, right?
Yep.
So we actually see a few things, and I think we should break them down, because it's easy to just glance at this and be like, typical, you know, cinematic type of video game poster release.
Right.
But that's not
right.
I think that we're given a little bit of a few clues here. Number one, there is a crater that looks like either an asteroid or a ship or some other large thing crashed into the side of a planet, which looks like it might be a snowy or icy planet. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately I'm thinking, is this the wreckage of the Normandy SR1? Some of the Citadel's, wreckage post Mass Effect 3?
Okay, so do you know what this looks like to me?
What does it look like to you?
Okay, so if something crashed directly into the surface of this planet, this would be a completely circular or mostly circular shape. But it appears that something slid and then exploded, because the bottom side of this is there's a very large opening. So it looks like something slid from the bottom side of this forward and then exploded, and like maybe sat there on the ground for a little while and then exploded, which caused the circular radius. That's what it appears like. Also, there appear to be other smaller craters around, which means that either pieces of it flew up in the air and landed back down and continued to explode, which created these other craters, or this has been sitting here long enough that other craters have happened around it. So either this is a very old thing, or it was a very large object that exploded big enough to create multiple craters.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might be onto something there, and you might be able to see right there under the crater.
Oh.
There is a little speck, and that's actually there's a corpse. That's a corpse that's not far from the crater. And whose corpse is this? You know, like if you zoom in enough, we might be able to tell, but not really. You know, now being the facetious, detailed digger that I am, I jokingly asked Jennifer Hale and Mark Meir on Twitter if it was them, but obviously they can't reveal that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
So, you know, they get it. But besides that, you know, when you zoom in, that actually kind of looks like a Geth, doesn't it?
Yes. I had the same thought. It's a very Geth shape, especially because of the body to neck to head shape
to flashlight head.
Interestingly
enough, when you zoom back out all the way, the whole thing looks like a Geth as well, which someone in chat here had just mentioned, the crater being the eye of the Geth. So it really is uncanny.
So
I'm thinking maybe the Geth will play a central role in the next Mass Effect game. I'm not sure. That's total speculation. But the fourth thing that I really noticed was, of the people that are there next to that spaceship, one of them is definitely a Krogan.
Yes.
One is definitely a Krogan, right?
Right. The big chunky looking one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's definitely an Asari, which, given the teaser that we got before, maybe that's Liara, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of other people that I don't know who they are either. Maybe one of them is Solarian. I'm not quite sure there. However, the ship is interesting to note, right? The ship looks new. It almost looks like newer technology than existed in the Mass Effect universe circa, 2185. Yeah, which is interesting because it looks like technology more reminiscent of the Andromeda game. which I guess was more cutting edge for the time. But it also has these three letters on it. You see that? It says SFX.
Yes.
I was curious about that, but then I looked at it and I remembered that there's a little known lore bit right here. The original name for the series that the devs tossed around was actually Science Fiction X. Oh. And they shortened it. They referred to it as SFX. So I'm thinking maybe that's just a placeholder. It doesn't really mean much. The SFX thing, just because SFX was a placeholder for them before. Although if they wanted to get funny, they could, you know, actually make it mean something now.
Yes. Yes. Big Bills in chat says that the other idea for this crater could be that something actually emerged from underneath the ground and crawled out.
Oh, that's I like that idea.
That's an interesting. I didn't consider that perspective, but yes, that could be the case as well. So maybe.
Yeah, that may be so. You know, who knows? But there's obviously a crew there that's there to investigate something. Perhaps it kind of looks like they might be walking up to the corpse or maybe just to the crater itself. The other possibility I thought when I saw this was, what if that's the effect of a mass accelerator cannon? One from the Reapers. What if that's the effect from one of the Reapers' orbital bombardments with their lasers? You know, they drag it across the ground, right?
Yeah.
That's totally possible as well. But yeah, those are kind of the speculations I have and the observations I have about this new teaser that was released today. And of course, it does come with the text on the very bottom that says Mass Effect will continue. And that's just vague enough, but just specific enough to keep us wanting more, right? So
what does
I don't think
mean?
We're going to get much.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get much more for at least a little bit. Maybe something more substantial in the next year, but Mike Gamble did tweet, you know, this is just something to hold us over, to let us know they're aware of N7Day. They are working on the next Mass Effect game. Don't lose hope. that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So... yeah. Oh, exciting stuff. But yeah, I think this is one of those like, hey, we're just going to drop something. Don't get too excited because it's still a good 2 to 3 years out. So,
yeah,
that's what we got.
Indeed. And who knows if Mark Meer is going to be in it? I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
He didn't tell us, but he was nice enough to, you know, send us some information about his thoughts on Shepard and Anderson. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah. And thanks to all of our listeners, our patrons, and a very special thanks to Mark Meer for taking that time to gush about the lore with us. You know, I would love to hear more from him and, you know, of course, the other Mass Effect team members, if they're interested in being on the show, maybe in the future, who knows?
Absolutely. Anybody who's worked on the projects having anything to do with Mass Effect, writing, art, anything like that, whether you do currently work with Mass Effect stuff on any of the dev teams, or if you did so in the past, we'd love to have you contact us and potentially, you know, bring you on the show in the future. So there's an open invitation. We'd love to pick your brains, not literally, because that's gross. So
no, we're not Prothean.
So. We're not Prothean. Well, Sam, you got anything else going on you want to share before we head out?
I'm going to stream some Mass Effect. It's now my schedule has changed around a little bit, right? So now Mondays and Tuesdays are my weekends. So that means right after this show, I'm free. Like, I can stream some Mass Effect. So if anyone's interested that's watching this stream and would like to join me for some Mass Effect and you can pick my brain about lore topics, I'm very happy to chat while I'm playing. So if you are, just go ahead and follow me on Twitch at N7TheLegend, and then you'll get that stream notification when I go live. I do need to eat after this lore cast. So it'll be a little bit of a pause,
but you'll be fine.
Do you need to eat? And and if you want to follow me on other platforms, I'm N7TheLegend there as well. Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, pretty much anywhere you might be able to find me, I am at N7TheLegend.
Awesome. I've got the Cyberpunk Lorecast coming up next with a very special episode. And then after that, I was invited onto the DLC podcast, which is a very popular video game news podcast. And that will be up in about an hour and a half from now. I'll be doing that. after the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm doing three podcasts right in a row tonight. It's going to be nuts. Also, if you would like to hang out with me on any future game streams, those are happening on my YouTube channel now. So the Twitch channel is just for these podcast episodes. Go to the Robots Radio YouTube channel to join me every morning during the week for my video game streams. And this week, the Skyrim Anniversary Edition comes out, and I have everybody on my Twitter account voting on which character we're going to make this week. And so I'll be starting a new playthrough, and I'm going to be trying out a bunch of new mods and stuff to see how they work with Anniversary Edition and recommending some new mods. So be ready for that as well. And that's what we got going on there. So thank you again to everybody for tuning in, everyone for being here for the live episode. I love seeing you guys in chat, seeing all the comments and stuff. Thank you so much for sharing that stuff. I wish we could read them all out during the show. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. And everyone who listens at home or wherever it is that you're listening, thank you for listening. And all of our patrons, you guys are the best. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week at our regular time, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, Sunday night. We'll see you guys next time. All right, everybody. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of the DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests and the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Hey, Simone.
Yes, Chad.
What would you say is your favorite bad movie?
Oh, where would I start? But probably at Zombie Strippers.
Oh, yeah, which we've actually done on our podcast, Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. This is a podcast where we take some of the worst movies ever created, and even some of those movies that you might have thought were brilliant, but still got a bad critic score, and we say nice things about them, because you know what? Someone put the effort in, so we're gonna be there, fighting in their corner.
Absolutely, Chad. Even if the movie was total garbage, there are some makeup artists that gave it their all, and we're here to recognize that.
Exactly. And with really fun themes every week, such as National Treasure Week, Weddings Week, movies with Jeremy Irons and dragons in them. How could you go wrong by joining us every Tuesday and Thursday for some optimism in your life?
And like we say at the end of every episode, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
We love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Goodbye! Bye.